The Week's Geek, hosted by Ralph Tromsey.
Hey, yo, how is it going? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Week's Peak. So I still haven't figured out a new intro for this thing, man. And I forgot to bring it up in this week's meeting. But hey, maybe next week, you know, next peak on Wednesday, maybe you'll come back and you'll hear a nice and juicy and, you know, just Ralph Tromsey kind of intro. You know what I'm saying? But today, we had a great interview with someone who has been in the photography game for a very long time. Someone who does photography for professionally, and that man is no other than Andy Cuno. Andy, as you will see, is the official team photographer of the San Francisco Giants. He's been there for 25 years now. And we really hear a lot about, you know, how he first got into the industry and, you know, all of those good points that, you know, you'd probably want to hear, you know. So I had obviously limited time, as I do with all the people we get on here. But with the time I had him on, I was able to ask him some pretty decent questions. So without further ado, enjoy this interview. All right, y'all. So now we have Andy Cuno joining us. So Andy, man, how are you doing, sir?
Doing well, despite these crazy times right now.
Oh yeah. You know, we're living through some times, but you know, we're getting through it, and hopefully we're somewhat at the end of it, you know. But hey, man, just feel free. Tell us, you know, who you are and what you do.
My name is Andy Cuno. I'm the team photographer for the San Francisco Giants. This is my 25th year with the team, although this is kind of a weird year because of the COVID situation, but, that's who I am.
Yeah. 25 years, man. Congrats on that. You know, that's crazy. Yeah. So talk to me, you know, how you first, you know, got into photography.
Well, my parents ran a black and white professional lab, and, for all you younger people, you know, people actually had to bring their canisters of film to a lab and get it processed. So that's what my parents did. It was strictly black and white. He had contracts with the 49ers, A's, and Giants. And through those connections, my dad would bring me to Candlestick and gave me a camera and made me shoot stuff despite me not knowing what I was doing. So it kind of spawned from there.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. So you started as a young age, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Cameras were always around me. So.
Right.
Very young. Got age.
It.
Yeah.
Got it. So you had a young influence on that because of your parents, right?
Yes.
Gotcha. And did you grow up in San Francisco?
Born and raised in San Francisco. My actual native. Really?
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. That's cool. Great. Cool. So, I mean, do you remember, you know, like the first type of camera that you first got?
It was not mine, but, you know, it was my dad's.
Right.
An Nikon FM, you know, it's manual. You had to load film in it. You know, it was like one frame at a time.
Uh-huh.
My dad had all the lenses you could possibly have because he was kind of a collector. And in a way, you know, I kind of adopted that. I collect a bunch of things too. But yeah, he just had me use various lenses and tried, you know, I was just trying to figure out this Rubik's Cube of a hobby, and slowly but surely, after many years, you know, I kind of got the hang of it, and
right,
and went from there. Right. Yeah,
gotcha. So when you're, you know, first getting used to the cameras and stuff, like, how difficult is it to, you know, maneuver and take, you know, like, high quality stuff? How long does that take to kind of get good at that?
Oh man, I mean, at least for me, when we were, you know, if we're talking about film, you had 36 frames to work with, and unlike here, you know, with the digital age where you could just shoot almost endlessly. So you have to really savor, think about peak action or emotion or you know, you just couldn't machine gun it. So I would say the difficulty was probably harder then because you didn't know what you had till you had the film process. So there was like,
right,
there was
right.
an LCD on the back to see if you made the shot or not, whether it was in focus or not, was whether it was framed well or not. I mean, it was all a mystery till you got the film back.
Right, right.
But I'm thankful going through that process because, you know, I appreciate each frame, no matter, you know, even though I have like 1,000 whatever frames available on a card, you know, I still savor each frame.
Right, right. And, you know, thinking back to those times, like, do you miss those old cameras or?
You know, I always get the inkling to shoot film, and there's actually a film camera I really want to get, which is the Hasselblad X-Pan. It shoots landscape. And it's a very beautiful camera, and it produces amazing images. And, you know, if I could ever get my hands on one of those, I mean, I would definitely go back to shooting film just for fun, you know, maybe right, not sports, right. But, you know, maybe for travel.
That's cool. That's cool. So how long did it take for you to, you know, start picking this up actually professionally?
Well, throughout middle school and high school, you know, this was something I was just kind of doing on the side. Actually, in high school, I shot for the yearbook, if that counts for anything. Mm. But once I got into college, you know, photography wasn't my major, it was something else. But through my dad's connections, I was able to, like, kind of more or less intern for a few people and kind of hone my skills. It took a while. And even, even after graduating from college, I just kind of, you know, I didn't want a desk job. So I said to myself, you know what, let's freelance for a year, see where it goes. If, you know, if it doesn't pan out, I'll get a desk job. Uh-huh. And that first year was very difficult because, you know, you had to be on point. You had to produce. Otherwise, you wouldn't get repeat business. And there's a whole business side to photography that I didn't know about either. So I'm thankful for the photographers in the Bay Area that took me under their wing and kind of showed me the way. But yeah.
Gotcha. How long did it take you to get used to just the business side of things in the industry?
I'm still learning to this point because, you know, things are always changing.
Right.
Everyone thinks photos are free on the internet, which they're not. You know, it's a constant education of those who violate copyright rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So how did you originally, you know, get the chance to take up a job with the Giants?
So, like I said, my dad would take me to Candlestick Park. You know, he would drop me at third base in the photo well, and I'm trying to learn. But, you know, before the game would start, I would always have these questions. And, you know, I would ask the photographers there, like, hey, is this setting right? Should it be like this? Should it be like that? And there was a woman by the name of Martha Jane Stanton who kind of showed me the way. And, you know, at the time she was transitioning to becoming the team photographer for the Giants. And so from those initial meetings, you know, I had a friendship with her, a professional one, and as she saw myself after college, when I was producing images that would run in the Chronicle or the Examiner, because I was shooting for a wire service, you know, she saw the growth in me. So, you know, she approached me, she wanted a business partner, and that was back in the fall of 95 when she approached me. So in 96, you know, I more or less split the contract with Martha, and you know, here I am 25 years later.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Cool. So how important is, you know, starting off and having, you know, those types of connections? Cause without that, would you think you'd be in the spot you are today?
No, I wouldn't. And I think during that era, like in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, internships weren't popular or even heard of, maybe, you know. So I was kind of lucky to be in a spot where, you know, he made those connections, and, I didn't fall on my face. Right. And, you know, as long as you produce, you know, you'll get your work. And it's funny. I tell people I don't have a portfolio, a resume, or a website even till now. So I've always gone by reputation. So when someone dodges for you, it's a big deal.
Gotcha. Cool. If you decided not to go the photography route, was there any other career path that you sort of thought about?
You know, I was always skateboarding, and I figured if I had a desk job, it would be something related to that field or even snowboarding. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean,
got it. Cool. Congrats to that 25 years, man. Like, you know, being in any career for that long, man, it's great to hear, you know, and having that big of a number. Mm-hmm. In all those 25 years and being around San Francisco, like, what has been, you know, your personal just favorite moment that just sticks out to you looking back on the years?
Probably 2010 game 5, when we had the lead against the Rangers in the World Series. And
gotta love that.
Yeah, it's you know, think about it. It's never happened in San Francisco before. And
right.
I just remember in the later innings, I was just pacing in the photo well because I just knew it was going to happen. And, you know, that anticipation, you know, kind of got to me. I kind of became a fan for a moment, but then, you know, I had to like refocus and I had a duty to capture everything. So that moment sticks out.
Cool. How hard is that, by the way, you know, being in that moment and, you know, like you mentioned, like not trying to be a fan, but focusing on what you're there to do, you know, how hard is that?
You just have to remind yourself to like, you have a job. And, you know, right. I've been in situations where, whether it's baseball or something else, where I was maybe in awe of something, like, and I missed them. I'm like, you know, those moments you always remember for not capturing something the way you wanted to do it. So, gotcha. You know, that kind of keeps you refocused, you know, failures are always a great thing to look at to, you know, so you could improve yourself.
Right. Gotcha. Very cool. So, you know, what are some key tips that, you know, I don't know, maybe most photographers know, maybe some don't, that just make, you can make a picture, you know, the best quality?
I don't know. It just matters. Keep shooting, figure out your own style. And, mm-hmm. It's hard to say because each photographer brings something different to the industry and right. into the profession. So I guess find your niche, find your mm-hmm. style, and, you know, ignore what other people say if they put you down. Just, you know, back your work up with your own beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Great. And over the years that you've done this, what has been your personal just most challenging thing that, you know, you've had to overcome?
Oh man, I don't. That's a tough question. I never really thought about it. I think I've been fortunate that I've been surrounded by some really good people that looked out for me. Maybe a bit too much early in my career, but man, that's a tough question. I don't know if I have an answer for that.
Uh-huh. See, that's what we got to do here on the Week's Peak, man. We got to stump people on these questions.
Yeah. You know?
Got it. Cool. So, you know, we're almost out of time here, but I just want to ask, you know, for anyone out there who's listening, who may want to go professional with cameras and all that, what would your piece of advice be for them?
You know, if you want to pursue photography for the love of it, you know, go for it. Unfortunately, our industry, the past 5, 10, 15 years, it keeps shrinking because magazines and newspapers are folding. People don't want to pay the rates that were being paid out from years ago. So, you know, it's really kind of a cutthroat dog eat dog world right now. And mm-hmm. but I also don't want to discourage someone from not pursuing photography. You know, it's really fun and creative and satisfying to that degree. But you know, I guess advice would be keep mindful that while you're doing it, you might not make a career of it immediately, or mm-hmm. if at all, because the way the economics works out. But, you know, I also don't want you to not pursue making pictures.
Right. Cool. Great. Well, I mean, we're just about out of time. Do you have any last words for our people?
Just wear a mask, social distance, and sanitize your hands. I mean, I think we're going to be dealing with this for a bit longer, but everyone keep safe, please.
Most definitely. Yeah. All right, man. Hey, Andy, I appreciate you coming on, my man. Hey. And appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ralph.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Yes, sir. Okay, so there's that interview with Andrew Cuno. official San Francisco Giants photographer. It was cool to have him on. Unfortunately, with limited time, you know, we always get that limited time with all the guests. I feel like everybody's busy nowadays, you know. Yeah, appreciate him for coming on, and make sure y'all go check him out, and see some of his work, because he's good at what he does. You know, when you do something and invest your time and career for so long, then, you know, it's only right that, you know, you're going to be one of the best in the game for doing whatever that may be, you know. But it was cool having him on. But there's one thing that I do want to comment on, and something that stood out to me as I did that interview. Just having connections, you know, that's very important in life, you know, and I've realized that over the past few years as well. And I really, that's a common theme as well. You know, a few weeks back, we had Ryan Rizuki, R2B Ball, who is a basketball international trainer. You know, most famously, you know, worked with, you know, Mikey Williams, and you know, even recently Flight Reacts and all that. You know, he said in his podcast episode a couple weeks back is that, you know, he had a couple mentors with trainers who he looked up to, right? And eventually from there, you know, he's able to be a mentor himself, you know. And he mentioned you got to work for free and for as long as you can, and eventually, you know, things will go your way, and you'll get better. You'll start getting paid and all of that, you know. So, and without those connections, things would have never happened. You hear with Andy today, right? If his dad never had the connection, you know, with people at Candlestick, who knows if, you know, where Andy would be nowadays, right? So just kind of make sure you put yourself out there, you know, make sure you are just getting your name out there and having people know you, because at the end of the day, you know, that may be the difference between you getting a certain job and someone else getting it, you know. And then another thing too, I feel like, is just having a connection is not enough, you know what I mean? Like, you got to build that up, build that reputation even, right? So it would only make sense, you know, that your reputation has to be on top of things as well, you know. So I feel like they can go hand in hand, you know, connections and the reputation. Because at the end of the day, you know, if I know, you know, R2, or I know other trainers and know of a lot of high name basketball players, at the end of the day, if I'm not a good trainer myself, then what the hell is that gonna do? You know what I'm saying? So you gotta make sure you work on yourself. You know, whatever you wanna do, if you're trying to be a trainer, right? Go out, work on your craft every single day. You know, see how to get better. Make a blueprint that'll work for you and your players, right? Something that'll work, something that will improve games, and, you know, people will see that, you know. And something else that I've realized so much stuff on this podcast already, and I've learned a lot, is that it only takes one person, right? So this podcast, we're not doing too bad. Okay, we get quite a bit of people listening every single episode. All it took was one listener, you know. All it took was one person to share the podcast, and you know, maybe one person from that share it on their stuff, and maybe someone who saw it on there, you know. It's a continuing thing where it's all up to one person, you know what I mean? So I'm blessed, you know, the team's blessed, you know. We've had a lot of people supporting. Like, when I first had the idea since, what, eighth grade, freshman year, and I never pulled the trigger on it. But beginning of 2020, I'm like, you know what, this is the year. And, you know, when quarantine hit, it's like, oh, you know, this is a perfect opportunity, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I wasn't expecting it to be big like this, you know? Like, because I enjoyed having conversations with my friends and all that. So I'm like, you know what, if I'm enjoying it, there's probably people out there who might enjoy it, you know? But my the number in my head, you know, was, I don't know, maybe a few people, you know, some of my close friends here and there, maybe listen every once in a while. But nah, like, we just hit 800 listens the other day. We're almost close to 900 right now. I'm sure after this episode, we're going to be at 900 listens already, which is crazy, you know, across all platforms. When we did that in just about 16 episodes, and, you know, we might, like, we're probably going to hit 1,000 before 20, which is, in my mind, that's great, you know, like, that's averaging, like, 50 people per episode. For someone who's small, you know, for someone who, you know, who has no experience doing it, like, that's decent, you know what I'm saying? And not even to mention the first week, we had over 100 each. First few episodes, we went well over 100. And obviously, you know, it's because, you know, it's the moment, you know, it's something new, people want to check it out. And then after that, obviously, numbers are going to drop. But, you know, we got a bunch of loyal people out here. You know, we got tens and tens of loyal people out here. But it all took one person, you know. So if you're trying to put yourself out there, you might as well do it. Because at the end of the day, you never know who that one person is going to be. Because that one person who may share your podcast or your music or your business, that one person may lead you to so many more customers, you know? And for each batch that gets shared, you know, one, at least one is going to reshare it, you know? So it's just an ongoing thing, you know? But then again, going back to reputation, making sure that you're doing it and you're constantly trying to get better, you know? Like, this podcast, first episode was not perfect, you know? Second episode was not perfect. But what did I do? I met with my people. I asked advice from my homies. I asked advice people who listen that I don't even know. And I get advice, I get feedback, and I say, okay, I did this wrong. Okay, well, let me fix it. You know, we start off doing one episode a week. Oh, one episode might not be enough. Maybe we'll go up to two. All right, I'll do it. I'll try it out. Ended up working great. Yo, Ralph, maybe instead of doing solo episodes on Wednesdays, get a co-host in there. Boom, I got a co-host with Ezra, you know? What else? Ralph, might as well, you know, hit up some other people as well, make it more motivational thing, listen to different stories. Boom, what did I do? I went out that second week, third week, and got the boy Matthew Santoro on. And from there, things really kicked off, you know? And again, that's the reputation, the connections. Because, you know, we may be a small podcast, but we've gotten, you know, Matthew Santoro, we've gotten Ryan Rizuki, we've gotten Andrew Kuno, we're very close on getting an episode with Ricky Funes, who is owner of Ten Goose Boxing. He's a boxing coach. I just spoke with up-and-coming musician, artist, Jesus Montoya, which would be a dope episode right there. I'm in talks and waiting for a reply back from A.B. Lopez and his manager. He's an up-and-coming boxer, which I think a lot of people need to learn about. Worked in various camps from Manny Pacquiao to, I believe, Danny Garcia, and plenty other people as well. We got different influencers coming on who have already agreed to come on. I think I got an author ready to come on. I'm just waiting for a date on that. So we got these people who are coming on and willing to share themselves and their stories, you know. But what did it take? It took the very first episode. So again, too, if you're trying to do something and trying to go big in something, put yourself out there. Your first thing is not, whatever that may be, if you're launching a business, your first sale, your first week is not going to be perfect, right? Your first podcast and that episode is not going to be perfect. Your first song is going to be far from perfect, right? Your first, your first book, your first piece of artwork, whatever you're trying to do, your first one's not going to be perfect. Maybe it is. Maybe you're some, like, godlike person, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, what's the point of establishing something if you're not going to grow, you know? I think the point of making creative projects is because, I mean, to grow, you know, and to be better. I got a lot of my friends, personal friends, who are starting up their own, like, mini businesses and releasing songs and this like that. And everybody's been successful. And I look at it, and especially with my podcast, like, my podcast is not perfect, but I got a great team backing me up, helping me, making sure that, you know, we get to a high peak, you know. And I saw a post the other day. It's like, you know, if a friend has a YouTube channel, it's free to sub, it, you know, it's free to share, it's free to do this and that, so why not help them, you know? So you know what we talk about, it all depends on one person, right? So why don't you, listening to this episode right now, why don't you be the difference? Why don't you be that one person? Go out, share a small podcast, share a small musician, share someone's small business. Because at the end of the day, you know, most of the time it's not going to cost you nothing. You know what I'm saying? And if you're one of those people trying to go out and do something, hey, you know, go for it. What's stopping you? You know, no one in this world is going to have the ability to stop you as much as yourself, as much as your mind, as much as your heart, as much as, you know, just yourself, right? So if you train yourself to have that growth mindset and that mindset that says you can do anything, you know, anything is going to be attainable, anything is going to be reachable, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, there we go. There's your motivation for today, for the weekend, you know? Go out. If you're trying to do something, go out. Start it up. It may not be successful. I'm starting up a new company that's going to launch in July 2021. I don't know if that's going to be successful. I don't know what's in store for that. But right now, I got the foundation. Why? Because I'm getting these connections, doing these podcasts. Step by step, poco a poco, little by little. You know, you'll get to where you want to get. It's all just up to that one person. So that being said, hopefully y'all enjoy. I kind of went off track there a little bit. I started talking about connections and then I went into something else. But anyways, that's been that. Again, Andrew Kuhn, appreciate you for coming on. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the next episode, y'all. This has been the week's peak. We overcame this peak. Another peak, man. Another peak. We overcame it. We will see you at the next one. Same time, same place, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All major podcast platforms. If it concerns you, we just got accepted on iHeartRadio. Not sure who listens to it on there. But usually I go by request. You know, like someone said, to make sure you have it on Spotify, so I put it on there, right? Someone told me that they listen on Breaker, so like, okay, I'll put it on there. One person a couple weeks back said, yo, I listen on Podbean, can you put it on there? And I'm like, for sure. So now we're also on iHeartRadio, so we're on, like, I don't even know how many, 11, 12 different thing, maybe even 13, I don't even know what we're at right now, but all major podcast platforms. So go listen, if you haven't already, man. Wherever you listen, if it's possible to give a rating, please do. It helps out a lot. Wherever you listen, though, follow. If you're on YouTube, subscribe, like, comment. Join the discussion, man. Follow us on Instagram at The Week's Peak. If you have any feedback for us, for the team, if you have a suggestion who should come on the show next, email us, theweekspeak@gmail.com, or DM us on Instagram. And we will respond to you. Shout out to y'all out in Canada. We got a new Canadian audience now. We got some people out there listening up north. So appreciate y'all out there. And I know we have some sort of fan base in France, apparently. I went through the numbers yesterday and, you know, we're growing out there. So appreciate y'all. And until then, adios. Deep, 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 deep